we're delighted to see that there's only 25 minutes for this talk, so. And there's no, oh, there is a clock. Anyway, it's good to be here. It's good to be back. 20 years ago, I began doing retreats in Boca with Mitch. And it's gratifying. It's coming full circle. For me, the key thing about Zazen, which is, I think, what you should focus on almost exclusively, is doing Zazen unselfconsciously. That's really what forget the self means. And we're programmed to be self-conscious, of course. I. For the most part, this self-consciousness is not only unnecessary, but it's deadening. Because self-consciousness is not consciousness of anything. It's a hoot. Look, if we're going to get along, when I laugh, you laugh. Get it? We're supposed to eliminate separation between self and other during a little retreat like this. Okay, so... So that's what makes Zazen difficult, because of the extraordinary power of this conditioning or programming. You're constantly aware of, I am doing Zazen, I am experiencing this, etc., etc. Well, what samadhi is really, in retrospect, since mercifully you have no idea what it is during, it's really the temporary absence of self-consciousness. And it's just enormously liberating. Just enormously liberating. So what happens for the most part in Zazen is that your sitting is self-conscious. And that's why you don't enter samadhi. Because you're actually subconsciously afraid of experiencing the absence of self-consciousness, because if you're not self-conscious, who are you? And not only that, what it feels like. You know, Zen is really experiential. I shouldn't have to say it, but guess what? This is lost, almost. American Zen, all the teachers talk about their superior spiritual understanding, and they all do, most of them. Of course, not me, because I'm the greatest. But they all talk about how deeply they understand Zen. Zen is not about understanding. Zen is about liberating yourself from conceptualized experience in order to liberate our capacity for direct, immediate, unmediated experience. That sound right? as I said, when I ask a question like that, the answer is yes.
Yes.
We'll get along just fine. And, but the, you know, there wouldn't really be a problem with conceptualized experience. Obviously, it has enormous practical value. It enables us to have so-called objective knowledge, believe in an objective reality, etc. But what happens after years, and you really have to be patient with Zazen. I mean, I think the most practical advice I can give you is you just have to be patient. After a while, you'll experience a shift, a subtle shift, which you can intuit, sense. And that shift is from self-consciousness to the absence of self-consciousness. You begin to sense yourself disappearing. I love that feeling. And you sense yourself disappearing because, as I said, our profound attachment to self-consciousness is all about confirming our existence. Why would you need to confirm it? You exist. I can see you. So what happens for most human beings, not me of course, is that you pull back. And it's all very subtle. It's all very subtle. You pull back. It's sort of like, oh, I'm getting into some deep shit here. I just signed on for tranquility and calmness. Take a pill. I recommend one of the many opioids. I tried Valium, but it doesn't do it. So the main reason we don't enter so-called samadhi, without which it's not really zazen, is this, to be really brutally honest, it's fear. You're afraid of samadhi. You're afraid of loss of self-consciousness. And of course you are. There is nothing in our damned culture that says there's anything good about the absence of self-consciousness. So why would you want to lose self-consciousness? Well, the result of a temporary loss of self-consciousness is that you feel more alive. More spontaneous. None of the Zen teachers talk about spontaneity. It's just like, and no one talks about feeling free. See, what I'm used to is after the slow walking, we do normal pace walking, and what can happen during that normal pace walking is that for a moment, you don't know who's walking. And that's an easy test of how good your sitting is. If you have even just a moment of that, I don't know who's walking. Walking is walking. So So for me, that's the point of Zen practice in general. It's to oppose the program, oppose the conditioning, swim upstream against the current being the conditioning. And like that great Japanese calligraphy, when the carp, that's a fish. Are we agreed on that?
Yes.
Yeah, the carp are rather lovely. That when the carp, swimming against the current heroically, gets to the top of the falls, guess what? Becomes a dragon, full of life. But this isn't being taught. What's being taught is individual liberation. Oh, that's selfish. You got to practice for the sake of others. Bullshit. Bullshit. All you can do, if you can do it, and it's a big if, is liberate yourself from the programming. Then, and only then, will you be of use to others. This ridiculous Mahayana idea that individual liberation is selfish, I mean, that's where Mahayana comes from. It doesn't come from, you know, an enormous feeling of compassion for the suffering of others. It comes from this idea that the arhat, the Theravadan archetype of so-called enlightenment, it's selfish. What's selfish about it? What is selfish about it? Nothing. Okay, so I guess, you know, every teacher needs a brand. Ugh. There's just so much bullshit. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall bullshit, sanctimony, self-righteousness, rhetoric. Oh, God. Just practice Zazen. Do it every day. Really, really commit to it. And don't do it in order to tranquilize yourself and not have thoughts. To have a good sitting. I had a good sitting. I didn't have any thoughts at all. Well, you could also be dead. Something that has always actually struck me as rather attractive. Sorry, that was morbid. So my brand is this. Zen is Buddhist, Zazen is Taoist. And they don't go together. The cliche is Zen is a marriage of Buddhism and Taoism. Since I've been married 4 times, I know that marriage does not mean harmony. Although if you take drugs together, that really helps. And again, opioids, you know, just zonk out. And then you don't have any quarrels, no problems, you're happy, and you qualify as a bona fide American. Because as an American, uniquely, you are under an obligation to be happy. It's un-American to speak of your unhappiness. It's a failure. You should feel ashamed of yourself. Okay, so what's Taoist about Zazen? The Taoist notion, which is of course a direct experience, but it's called Wu Wei, W-U-W-E-I. Wu Wei is usually translated as non-doing. Not doing doesn't mean not doing, because something is happening, but the non-part means you are not aware of yourself doing it. That's so powerful. It's so difficult. And it's not just about, you know, obviously not just about Zazen. To check out whether your practice is working for you, you can try to be aware of moments in your everyday life when, for a moment, you don't know who's doing this. You don't know who's alive. We're programmed to think that's bad. It's not bad, according to, as far as our Zen experience is concerned, that's good. Of course, you know, you could also not know who is doing this because, you know, you're drugged or out of it or, you know, mentally challenged. Used to be called crazy, but challenged. We love euphemisms. We love just sugarcoating everything. Just everything. Nothing raw. So, what this feeling of being unself-conscious, what it feels like is, as I said, a freedom, a lightness, a capacity for spontaneous action. Not spontaneous action in the sense of something, you know, contrived, which is crazy, which of course what the society associates with being spontaneous. You're going to do, God forbid you do something spontaneous, there's no telling what you could do. Freedom has always been discouraged in almost all human societies. For me, Zen is about liberation. And also a feeling of playfulness, which is also not spoken of. My heart teacher, Soen Roshi, was just the embodiment of just mischief and playfulness. But we're also, when we approach something like this, because we conceptualize it as spiritual, we're serious. You get a dead, serious atmosphere. Everybody is being serious. Guess what? Seriousness makes you self-conscious. When you're playful, you don't know who's being playful. Don't forget, we weren't born self-conscious. And we're conditioned to be self-conscious for a variety of reasons, so I won't deny the practical value, but it kills us, because what self-consciousness does is separate us subtly from what is happening. You're focusing on who it's happening to, and therefore you're separate from so-called direct experience. That's a big price to pay. But the conditioning also says, no, it's no price to pay at all. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to replace direct experience with conceptualized experience, because direct experience, when there's direct experience, there's no objective knowing what's going on. It's just, ouch! Then you learn that ouch means hot. And once you learn that, what's the use of ouch? There's no use. It's just seen as, oh, that's evidence that what you touched is hot. Life is in direct experience, and it's almost as if there's a conspiracy against us from really feeling alive. I don't mean bungee jumping or skydiving, but, you know, feeling alive in often subtle, but nonetheless lovely ways. Conspiracy against our feeling more and more alive. More and more free inside. Because no society wants people who are like that, because they can't be controlled. It's very simple. They just, you know. For me, government is always about simply crowd control. What are we going to do with all these people? If they go around acting spontaneously, I mean, what will happen to the social fabric? Fuck the social fabric. You might have noticed the social fabric is not in particularly good shape these days. So what you want to look for during a Zazen Kai like this and in your life is, can you catch moments, precious moments, when that self-consciousness is not present? And intuit how that feels, that the absence of self-consciousness is not something to be feared. It's liberating. But it takes a while to integrate it. The nice thing about, the only really nice thing about talking for me selfishly is, right at the very beginning, I don't know who's talking. Great. It's just great. I feel like I'm capable of saying anything. I'm not in church. I'm dangerous. Yeah, so just try to be aware. And I use the word intuit, and there's no, frankly, there's, you know, I used to teach philosophy for 40 years. What a mistake that was. I use the word intuit even though there's certainly no accepted definition of what intuition is. Intuition, put it this way, is a sense of what is happening without your separating and objectifying it. So in other words, intuiting is not saying, oh, now I'm being unself-conscious. As soon as you say that, of course, you are no longer unself-conscious. So intuition, which is also not talked about in the books, that's what Prajna wisdom is. Oh, people say, oh, price of wisdom. Oh, heavy man, price of wisdom. Oh. So, in other words, what keeps you from remaining in that unselfconscious state is that the, you know, so-called program kicks in, you subtly separate, and, you know, you become self-consciously aware of being unselfconscious. And that's the secret to remaining in samadhi. You need two things. First, guts. They don't talk about that either. Don't chicken out. Go with it. You know, go with the flow. What could be more spiritual? Really, don't chicken out. Have faith. And, you know, that's another nice thing, of course, about doing Zazen together. We're all in the same boat. We're all pretty much experiencing the same thing. All the neuroses and all of that. You know, we're in this together. This, for me, there's nothing better. Nothing better in life than group samadhi. And try to be, it's a short thing we're doing, but try to also intuit the atmosphere. Because it's almost as if the atmosphere is really the teacher here. And groups, and Zazen was conceived of as a group meditation. Only someone as advanced as I am can do solitary Zazen. I've been doing Zazen for 47 years. And yes, I mean to impress you. Why would I not want to impress you? I'm human. You're supposed to say, oh, that's amazing. It is amazing. It's so impressive. Sometimes I can't sleep at night because I feel overwhelmed by how impressive I am. I never think of myself as Roshi when I'm alone. I hate to break it to you, but I guess I'm a little schizoid that way. Lou really suffices, and that's actually even too much. So in terms of what I'm saying, what I've been saying, the beauty of a session, a Zazen Kai, is the beauty of group Zazen, and the practical value of group Zazen is that everybody without exception has to experience a shift from self-consciousness of my Zazen. This is my Zazen. And everybody, you know, their Zazen. That's the way it starts out. But, you know, if this is a so-called good experience, there's a shift. And that shift is without screwing it up by conceptualizing it, just intuiting that shift, and the shift is from my Zazen to our Zazen. That's a great thing. It's just a great thing. And that's why Zazen was conceived of as group meditation, because, you know, even after 47 years sitting alone, it's really difficult to sit unselfconsciously. It's just really, really difficult. But in a context like that, like this, it's a, you know, somewhat of a piece of cake. You just, anyway, that sense of our Zazen is just it's just a great thing. Appreciate it, and above all, enjoy yourself. Because enjoying yourself, it turns out, is much, much harder than we think. Self-consciousness screws that up too. You know, go out and have a good time. Oh, okay. Why do you think people get drunk? Absence of self-consciousness, trying to kill it. But no amount of alcohol or drugs can kill it, but zazen can actually expose a consciousness which is the original consciousness, after all, which is unself-conscious, expose this unself-conscious consciousness, which, to stink up the atmosphere, I sort of believe is always there. It's not replaced by conceptualized experience, not replaced, even though that's the intention of the program, is to replace direct experience with conceptualized experience. Why would you stand for that? Really? You want to eat the menu? I have to throw in at least one spiritual cliche. The map is not the territory. You want to ask me some more? I got. Yeah. Anyway, so it's great to be here. Thank you. Now, if I can find the Doksan room.
Thank you.
Thank you, Roshi.